Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, September 27th, 2015. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it. Why? Because it'll make me feel good about most of the life decisions that I've made so far. Yeah, it would make me feel good, and it was nice. Somebody sent me one recently, and it was very nice, and it made me feel good. It warmed my heart, and it made me feel like I was not just throwing this thing out into an abyss. And I know I'm just gonna keep saying it until you guys do it. There's quite a few of you that listen, and that's all that I'm asking for you right now. All right, you can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Share your thoughts and your concerns with me. You can do that at that email address. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, Chris Lambert, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. You can do that. It's easy. It's easy. You can do that. And it will be cool. You get to know, what will you get to know? You'll get to see me retweeting and tweeting things about black quarterbacks, Pretty Little Liars, music that I'm listening to, and pithy, thoughts that I have about certain things. So that's available. All right. So this is episode 137. Wow. 137 of these things, and I am in my apartment. I have now, I'm watching the NFL on Red Zone on mute. The 49ers are getting blasted by the Arizona Cardinals. And I got to say, and I tweeted this, folks, you have got to be walking on sunshine if you chose the Arizona Cardinals defense for your FanDuel or your DraftKings, whatever fantasy football thing you do. I'm very tempted to try these DraftKings and fantasy football stuff. It looks fun, but I'm afraid that I'd probably get addicted to it, and I'm already broke, and I really don't want to lose any money to DraftKings and FanDuel. It's so tempting because you hear about it all the time on podcasts. And you try the free code and blah, da 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 d and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, man, I should try this. And I tweeted, no, I didn't tweet this. I made a Facebook post just saying, you know, DraftKings or FanDuel yesterday. And I'll see what some people said. The homie Rod said, what did he say? He said, I asked him, had he tried it? And he said, yes, last week, lost everything. I'm not sure that he tried it, but it's funny that he said that. Some people said, a coworker I used to work with says she haven't tried DraftKings, but FanDuel has some real decent games. And then another comic, Khalid Rahman, said it's rigged. You can't really win. Sent me an article about it that I didn't read, but I believe it. And some people says, another friend says, I like DraftKings because it's PPR scoring. I don't even know what that means. And no kickers, but FanDuel is better if you're used to standard scoring. I would try both at $10 and see which one you like better. That's a good recommendation. And then this guy says, use this and get a free entry into the $5 million tourney. So it's very tempting because I know that my proclivities to Oreo cookies would lend itself to FanDuel. That's why it's hard for me to keep Oreo cookies in the house. And I noticed when I was in Cleveland, I was playing the, I went to that 16-bit bar, arcade bar in Lakewood. And you could play all the games for free with the exception of the two pinball machines. And I pumped, I don't know how much money, it was under $10, but it would have gotten to a point where I was putting a lot of money in that thing. And I don't know if I might get addicted to that, and it's just not looking good. Also, but speaking of football and sports and things, Buffalo is up 27-0 on Miami. Hashtag black quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor threw a couple touchdowns. So I'm happy about that. Cam Newton got a win. The Vikings got a win. Teddy Bridgewater got a win. Jameis Winston did not win, but that's okay. He's a rookie. I was pulling for Mariota to beat Indy because they worship this guy, Andrew Luck, so much. He's a good quarterback, but you know they size him so much. And Cam Newton, who's had no weapons his entire career, with the exception of Steve Smith, who can still play, who's still balling his ass off in his mid to late 30s. Every time I see him make a catch for the Ravens, I'm like, God, Cam Newton could have used that. And the Panthers are 3-0. So shout out to them. I mean, it's great. I'm glad. So I'm happy about that. We'll get maybe three black quarterbacks winning this week. So I'm happy about that. Honorary black quarterback, Johnny Manziel got put down, not put down. He's not a puppy in a shelter, but he got put down. Like it was got put back on the bench and, they lost. And I like to, some people are starting to get me doing these hashtag the black quarterbacks hashtag. And some people get behind it. I don't have a legion of people that get behind it and shit. But one guy, I think he's a comic, but I'm not sure. I don't want to say his name if he's not a comic. But he said, just because you get a Drake LeBron cosign doesn't make you black. And then he put some ellipses. That was bait for me to respond to it. But it's just a joke. I mean, obviously, no, he's not black. But I've been saying this for like about a year or two. He was the blackest quarterback in college football for a short period of time, you know, after Cam Newton left. He was, and they were the way they were treating him. And then the homie John Minus says, sometimes I seriously forget Manziel is black. They treat him like a complete N-word. I just think it's so much fun, and it makes the games more fun for me, and that's how I choose to enjoy football. And you know, that's just the way it is. Also, the Seahawks are winning. This second series of games just looks boring as hell. Like it's just not as compelling as the early games. So we'll see. I mean, the Ray Donovan finale's on tonight. What else? Those new shows on ABC, Quantico and Blood Oil, might be pretty good. We'll see. But How to Get Away with Murder. Oh, my God. That premiere. Jesus Christ. I'm glad. I'm happy. Fall television is back. Like all the network TV shows are starting to come back. Like Blackish was dope. Fresh Off the Boat was funny. You know, like the shows, you know, it's good. It's good. It's good. These things are, they're coming back. I feel good about it, you know? So this week in comedy was pretty decent. I did a show, Sunday at this place called, Halyards, and it's a show called, Rule of Three. And it's run by quite a few comics. Raj Sivaraman runs the show with Julia Johns, Sam Evans, and Oh, man. I think the guy's name is Max. And I don't want to be a douche. It's Max Fox, I believe. Yes. 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 It is. Yes. I believe it is. Yeah. So, you know, it was. Yeah, it is Max Fox. All right. So it was cool. And that's a cool show because you most of the times in the city when you do spots in these bar shows, you're doing like. Maybe like 8 to 12, anywhere between 8 and 15 or 8 to 12 on a, or 10, you know, you're doing anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes. This show, Halyard, you do, they get three comics and they do 20 minutes and it's a, and it's good. They, the hosts bring you up. It was fun. It was, but my God, traffic getting into the city on Sundays is just out of this world. It's ridiculous. It took me, what's normally a 30 to 45 minute trip was like an hour and a half. Like I could have been halfway to Maryland to see my parents and have them yell at each other. I could like be, I could have been like halfway to them watching them argue with each other and stuff. But I, you know, I was in traffic for an hour and change. But it was worth it. It was good. I had a good time. Was working on some new couple new jokes, and it was good. It was good to always good to get up. And then Thursday, I got a call, text to do host for Steve Trevino from Comedy Central. He's got Netflix specials. Work with Carlos Mencia, a funny comic. At Levity Live, and I hosted, and it was just the crowd was not giving me anything, and I just felt like shit. I got some laughs, but it was very tepid. It was a small. That room is so it's a great room, and it's so big, and I believe it seats up to 400 plus people, and it was just it may have been under 40 people there. And it's so big, and like it's just like when I got up there, they just stared at me, and I tried talking to them. I did a couple jokes, and it was just like, "All right, you guys." And it was just they were smilers and listeners, and I just didn't feel good. I didn't feel good about my set. I did not do that well. It was just very tepid. There was a guy that gave me a fist bump and said, "Good set," and people seemed to have a good time, and. Jesus Trejo was the feature and he was funny. He had some good jokes and you know, it was just like, I just felt like they weren't giving us anything. Then Steve went up there. He's a pro and he got him going. He got him laughing. He was really funny. And it ended up being overall a good show, but I just felt unfulfilled even though I got paid. And so I just went after that. I went to a movie. We'll talk about shit, why don't we talk about the movie now? So I, after the show, I went to go see this movie called Sicario, which is a movie that just opened this past weekend with Emily Blunt, Josh Brolin, and Benicio Del Toro. And I'll read you the little blurb. I'll read you the wiki description. Here we go. After rising through the ranks of her male-dominated profession, idealistic FBI agent Kate Macer, Emily Blunt, receives a top assignment. Recruited by mysterious government official Matt Graver, Josh Brolin, Kate joins a task force for the escalating war against drugs, led by the intense and shadowy Alejandro Benicio Del Toro. The team travels back and forth across the U.S.-Mexican border, using one cartel boss to flush out a bigger one. And that's pretty much it. And it was really good. It's easily an Oscar contender for this year. I mean, it starts out one way and it starts out pretty intense off the rip. And it was just like, shit, this stuff is happening right now. I don't want to give anything away to you on this one because it's sort of like a mystery and it's stuff that's kind of like, oh, shit. OK, wow. And things keep unfolding as the movie progresses. But it was a good movie. It's definitely worth seeing. It's 8 out of 10 on IMDb, 82% Metacritic, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. It kind of reminded me of traffic, but less Altman-esque, less characters to deal with and to remember. There were some scenes that reminded me of Splinter Cell. I'm not going to say that I'm the biggest scholar of Splinter Cell, the video game, but it damn sure reminded, there were certain scenes that were like, damn, this shit looks ill. And there were just some really good moments and very, very surprising at the things that happened. I was just like, oh, shit. And great performances all around. Saw Josh Brolin in it. And I know when I had Fonte on the show, we were talking about who could be in The Last of Us. I could totally see Josh Brolin playing Joel, because his character was tough, but he also had a kind of a little bit of wit, and he was a little funny. Joel was pretty funny in certain moments, like that dry sense of humor, the dry wit, and all that stuff going on. So yeah, I saw that, and after the movie, this was like Thursday. So this was like one of the first Thursday premieres that I've had gone to in quite some time. And it was only like five or six people in there at the AMC and at the Palisades Mall. Beautiful the way they remodeled it. They got the chairs that fold out, that the recline and all that good stuff. And so I'm walking out, and there's this guy. He's looking at me. He's like, "Fucked up movie, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, man." And he was like, "You know, I think he said it's something like it's very sobering, or maybe I said that. I don't even remember." But he said, "Man, it's all about gold, oil, and drugs. God." And I was like, "Yo," I was like, "Word, okay. All right, dude." And then I went to the bathroom, and then I was walking out, and I went to GameStop. Before I went into the movie, because I had a little time to kill, I went into GameStop, and I found out they were doing a midnight sale for NBA 2K16. And the junkie in me was like, "I'm going to wait." Like, I was telling my friends. I told, you know, some people, they hit me up on Facebook. "Yo, let me get your gamer tag and all this stuff." And I was like, all right, whatever. I'm probably going to wait on it. But it was so tempting. And they're like, "Okay, we're doing a midnight sale. It's too late to pre-order." And I was like, "All right, okay. You know, if you guys are, you know, we close at 12:30. And if you're around, you know, you can get it." Because they made it seem like GameStop always does this. Every time they have a pre-order for something, a really hot game, they get tons of copies, and they act like they're going to sell out of the fucking thing, and they never do. And it's just like they size it a little too much, more than they need to do. And it's just like, all right, calm down. And I didn't know. I was just like, okay, are you going to – because I hadn't done a midnight sale. Wow. Did I do one? Have I done one since I moved back to Jersey? I may have done one for a Madden. I really don't think I have. I don't know. I'm not sure that I did. And now you can buy the game. You can pre-order the fucking things on the, you can download it. But then it just doesn't have any value when you, if you want to trade something in. I don't know how I feel about that. Write in to me and ask me and let me know what you think. Do you think it's better to download games than to go to the store to have your hard copy or to have the downloaded copy? Because what if you want to dump the thing? If you want to get rid of it, even if it's for a little bit of change so you can get another game, get a newer game. I don't know. Let me know. What do you think about that? It seems like a lot of people are doing that now. Like one of my buddies, I was talking to him about it, and he said, "Yeah, I just pre-ordered it, and you know, I went to sleep and downloaded it, and when I woke up, it was there." Because hell, when you buy the game and you get the disc, you have to wait till the game loads anyway. You have to play a full game, like an exhibition game, and then while it's loading in the corner and all that. Yeah, well, I guess we'll talk about. All right, so after the movie, it's like 12:15, 12:20. And I'm like, "All right, the GameStop is right on the way to my car, and I have to pass the GameStop in order to get to my car." And it's 12:26 a.m. on a Friday morning, and I'm walking by, and it's still open. So, "You guys got any copies?" And they were like, "Yeah, we do." I said, let me, all right, let me get one for the PS4. And they put the cover with James Harden on. And I was like, hey, can I get the one with Steph Curry? And they were like, they have the fold in cover for all of them. And I was like, but can I? And they're like, they didn't want to fucking give me the one that I wanted with Steph Curry. I'm paying $65 for this shit. And I didn't want to fight because I'm a big black guy. These are two white women in the fucking store at 12 a.m. I was like, all right, just give me the James. And I thought, and I thought the cover would be like, you just slide it in like a thing. And it's just like this hard cardboard that when you slide the Steph Curry or what Anthony Davis or whichever one player you like on to be on the front cover, it looks kind of weird, but it's like, fuck, I'm paying for the thing. You have plenty of them. Can I just get the fucking Steph Curry thing? But I just let it go. I don't know. I just let it go because it really wasn't worth the fight and nobody really gives a shit. But that made me mad. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, that's really fucked up. They should have just let me have the Steph Curry one. What's the big deal? I'm sorry, guy. I'm just still thinking about that. It just rubs me the wrong way, you know? I don't know. I did not like that. It made me upset, and now I'm expressing that. And I'm channeling it, and it's gonna be something that I remember. It's just gonna be like, really, you can't just give me the one with Steph Curry. You can't retch around and give me the Steph Curry cover box. My God, Arizona 40-7. Kaepernick just got sacked. The 49ers have just, this has been a debacle. My God, all those players left. What's the linebacker? I can't even remember his name now. Number 52. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? You guys know who I'm talking about. Patrick, what the hell is his name? That's gonna fuck with me for the rest of the show if I can't think of Patrick Willis. Yes. Wow. Okay. All right. Patrick Willis. He left. Some other guys left that weren't as important as Patrick Willis, but that were younger. Patrick Willis probably had like two or three more years left in him at least. Yeah, man, these guys have fallen hard from getting to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, having a chance. Shit, like playing in the Super Bowl, having another chance to get in, like, it's crazy. My goodness. Yeah, so Sicario was dope. I really liked it. I kind of dozed off a couple times, not because of the movie. I'm always honest with you about this. It's not because of the movie. It's because I was up since 4:30, probably like 3:30 that morning. And I just wanted to see a movie. I want to go see a movie. I don't know. I love the movies. And I went and but it was enough to follow the plot and to see things. It was just like, oh, shit. Very enjoyable movie. I may see it. I don't know if I'll see it again before it comes out on video, but I'll definitely see this thing again because it's definitely worth it. It's just one of those it's a two-hour movie, 2 hours and 1 minute, and it's just one of those, like, what do you call it? Like, methodical, fucking slow moving type movies. And it wasn't because the movie was bad. It's just because I was tired. And I don't usually fare well when I go see 10 o'clock movies. But the last time I did, it was Focus, and I stayed up the whole time. I think it was because Will Smith was making out with the white girl in that movie. And I was really excited for him and to see that. So maybe that's what it was. That's why I stayed up. Hey, all right. What else do I want to talk about? So I did that show and did then Saturday. I did a show at Over the Eight, the show called Comic Sans, which is hosted by Darren Patterson and Evan Morgenstern. Is it Morgenstern? I feel like it is Morgenstern. It is. Let me just check my Twitter. Let's check my Twitter and see. Yeah, Evan Morgenstern. Yeah, that's right. And it was fun, man. It made me feel, because I was feeling bad about my, like, I've been really feeling kind of like, I've been having some pretty good sets here and there, but just some sets are just like, why? You know, you just have a set that just, you're just like, what am I doing with my life? You're just like bombing. And it's just like, ugh. You just don't feel good about yourself when you're doing a show and there's not that many people there and you're not doing well. And so that show at Comic Sans made me feel good. Made me feel good. Had a fun set. I riffed a little bit and did some material that I've been working on, and I feel good. I was thinking about that, and I was just like, all right, that. So you, every now and then you need those sets where you're just like, ah, that felt good. That felt good to that. I'm actually a competent performer, because the last few times just like, ugh. Yeah, so that was fun. And then after that, I walked over to Brooklyn Bowl and hung out with a buddy that works the door, had a great time, and just went home. And now we're here. Now we're doing the podcast, and this might be this might be short. I don't have that much to talk about today. And I know sometimes when I talk like that, when I say that, then the show ends up being like 3 hours, 2 hours. I did do surgery on myself. I had an ingrown toenail. You ever had an ingrown toenail? And it was just bothering me for like a few days. And I bought some hydrogen peroxide, and it was on my big toe, my big left toe. And I just loosened it up with the HP. And, I was watching Empire, and while I was watching, I was about halfway through Empire, and I got it out. I'm pretty proud of myself. I got rid of an ingrown toenail, and should be a doctor. I should pretty great at what I did. So that was interesting. What else, guys? What else? So let's talk about 2K16. So I did not, when did I play the game? Ended up playing it, on Friday afternoon. I worked from home a little bit, finished a TPS report. You ever had a TPS report that haunted you at like your day job? That was just a pain in your ass for like the longest time. You thought you did it right, and then you're like, oh shit, you didn't, and you're the only one that could fix it, and everybody CCs you on the email and make it like it's threat level midnight, and you finish it, and then you find out there's other issues with the TPS report. So I did that Friday. I went to a friend's mother's funeral, and I came home and I turned my logged on from home and looked at the stuff. I was like, oh my God. And I finally fixed it. And that felt good. And then I played NBA 2K16, and my God, wow, that is the best basketball. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, guys. Belched a little bit. That is the best basketball simulator I've ever seen, I've ever played in my life. Most of these games, these sports games, they have these different things that make you, every year, these different things that make you come back to get it. And really, for the most part, you're really just getting it for the new features and to get the new rosters, even though they can update them, they can update your old version, but it's just not the same because everybody's playing with the new shit, and you want the new shit every year. So, I mean, it's like this one, like, you know, the whole, like, campaign, the advertising campaign, like, oh, you get to see what Steph Curry, you know, he does a thing with his mouthpiece while he's at the free throw line. Chris Bosh does photo bombs. There's a scene where they show during a free throw where somebody's shooting a free throw and he makes it on another and they're playing the whoever it is, they're playing the Lakers. And then the guy making the free throw goes to give a high five to his fan, his teammate, and Kobe Bryant goes in the middle of it and intercepts the high five to the other teammate. Look that up. Like, Google it. Kobe Bryant, 2K, NBA 2K16. Like, Kobe's an asshole in the video game, and it's funny. And just the – so all of that, and then they got Spike Lee. We'll talk about that in a second. But just the mechanics of it, the physics, the way – you know, you can't – like, even last year they've been doing it where you can't really throw crazy-ass passes across court. Somebody will intercept it. Somebody will steal it from you. You can do floaters, and if you do a floater, somebody can knock that shit out of the fucking sky. And it just looks like when the animations, like, I'm saying like so many times, like the animations on the game, how do you say it? I don't even know how to say it, but it just feels, the feel of the game is just better than it's ever been, which also makes it a lot harder. Just because you're Steph Curry and you can shoot dope ass threes doesn't mean that you're going to make every shot all the time. LeBron, even when you're driving to the bucket, doesn't mean you're going to make it all the time. And it's really good. It's fun. I'm going to play it a lot more, but I started playing the Spike Lee joint, which is you take this, it's basically your creative player, and you take him from when he's in high school, and then he's a high school senior, and you play three games. You play like your first game of the season, and then you're projected to be like, you know, like a blue chip athlete and all that stuff. And you got your friends, you got your mom, you got your best friend that was kind of like it's kind of like a loose version of He Got Game, but more sanitized and tame. And you got a twin sister, and you got your mom, your daddy, you got an agent. And then when you're about to go pro, you get a light skinned girlfriend, and it's pretty fun, but you go and so during the recruiting process, it's about seven schools that recruit you, and then you play your first game as a freshman. You play like a tune up game, and then you play for the national. You maybe play two other games, and then you play for the national championship. And I went to Michigan. I chose Michigan because I used to love Michigan when I was a kid, the Fab Five and all that stuff. And Villanova was recruiting me, and it was like, oh, we'd love to have a street baller like you. I'm like, I'm not going to Villanova because you call me a fucking street baller. So I guess I'm not playing with you. All right. I guess I'm not. And so I went to Michigan, won the chip, then got drafted number 11 to the Pacers. And I'm just like, come off the bench. And it's a good game, but it's kind of shitty because your game is shitty. Like, you're like, they give you these VC points. And if you pre-order it or do like the early tip off weekend or whatever the fuck, you get these virtual currency. And when you type in the code, when you redeem your code at the PlayStation Network, they give you a certain amount of points or whatever. It's pretty cool. But you use that virtual currency like you did in the other ones to build up your player's attributes. And I was looking, you can buy more credit, virtual currency, and you get 200,000 coins is like $50. That's another fucking game. Why would I do that? I mean, you have to really love this game, but if you had $10 to that, that's another game. I couldn't see myself doing that for like a creator player. I don't know. Am I crazy or am I just 35? But I think other kids just, I think they, other players or people that are really hardcore, And kids like doing that shit because they do that on the cell phones too. I sound like they do that on the cell phones. They do that with those other games that you can download as apps to your phone. And you, whatever, like Angry Birds or something, like this one Bruce Lee game that I downloaded at one point. And they do that, but I don't know how I feel about that, like the upgrades. But I guess they have all that stuff that you can buy as upgrades. But I guess that's like after I finish a game, after I beat a game, I'm kind of done with it. And I do want to play The Last of Us again. I probably want to play that remastered or whatever. But it overall is fun. But if you're playing in that story mode, it's just kind of shitty. Like the guy wouldn't pass me the ball. You call for the ball, they'd give you a bad grade. And like Rodney Stuckey was playing. He's my point guard, and I guess he's like the second string point guard, I want to say, because George Hills, I think, is playing the one, is a starting point guard. Anyway, yeah, he wouldn't pass me the ball, and I think I scored 3 points in 2 games, and like I can't shoot. I'm rated like at a 65. It's just like, who wants to fucking do this shit? But some people do, but I think I'll just probably, maybe I'll start playing my friends online and just starting a team. I might try to start a team with start a season with the Timberwolves, but I think it might be really depressing because they'll like beat the shit out of me. But I'll play with a young star in Andrew Wiggins. I don't like to play with teams that are super dope, but that game, they make the game so hard now. It's just ridiculous. I was talking to a buddy last night about how hard, he was telling me how hard they make the games, and it's like, yeah, you know, you really got to dedicate a lot of time to that shit. But, oh, Tyrod Taylor just threw another touchdown. Yes, black quarterbacks. That's what I'm talking about, young. Boy is shining out here, young. Yeah, so it's a fun game. It's fantastic. What's not fantastic, and I don't know how much I've complained about this on this show, but that the Rise of the Tomb Raider, whatever, they made it an Xbox exclusive for Xbox. The new Tomb Raider game is coming out, I guess, November. It just makes me so angry because that game originated on Sony, and now Microsoft has its hands on it for God knows how long. I posted a trailer on Twitter and on Facebook, and it's amazing. It looks so good. It looks so dense and just, my God, it looks so great. And it makes me sad to look at it. I know, and I don't even think the new Uncharted is not coming out till March of next year. I know I just dried up all the vagina. All the ladies listening to the show just like, come on, Chris, Jesus. But I mean, hey, the game, it looks beautiful, and Lara looks beautiful. It looks so good, you guys. It looks so good, and it's almost making me want an Xbox. But I'm not gonna do that. There's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. The homie Michael B. Jordan, man, because this was they were talking about. First off, they said something about this guy, Michael B. Jordan, one of my favorite young actors, my favorite young up and coming actors. He's pretty much a movie star now. We could say Fruitvale Station made him a star. Somebody that, you know, that made him a leading guy. And I'm trying to get this article, and there's a bullshit ad for an app that you can't X out of, and it's so fucking frustrating to me right now. It's like you won't let me be great. You won't let me do my podcast. It makes me so angry. Why are you doing this to me? So I'm going to try to do it in Chrome and not get this stupid ad. But anyway, it was on. I first found out about this when I was at work, And then I said, what the fuck is this shit? I don't want to see this. This is so... Oh, this makes me so angry, man. Personal finance. I don't have any money for you to finance, you assholes. Oh, that makes me so angry. That makes me so angry right now. I'm sorry, guy. I'm sorry, but so I get a message from somebody, JL Covan, friend of the show, host of the Righteous Prick podcast. He retweets somebody and quotes the retweet, and he says, "You guys, Black Twitter is upset." He says, "You guys are surprised Michael B. Jordan is an All Lives Matter herb. Have you seen his shoes?" And I was just like, well, this doesn't mean anything. Why? So I guess somewhere he said that he was down for the All Lives Matter, which was weird because he did a speech at the, I think at the BET Awards or the NAACP Awards, where he showed his support for the Black Lives Matter campaign. And so I don't know what the fuck people were talking about. And then he did this GQ article. So he's on the cover of GQ magazine. And I'm reading and I'm trying to find, like, because I didn't know where this was. I didn't know where this All Lives Matter quote was. And I was digging through it. And every time I saw where I thought it would come up, I didn't see it. And I'm just like, what the fuck is everybody so mad about? And he's like, I can't believe he played Oscar Grant. And I can't believe he would do this to us and blase blah. And I was like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? I don't see this shit. Then somebody said it was on a Snapchat. And I was just like, I don't get it. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And still couldn't find it. And I said, well, I don't know what people are talking about. I just don't get it. And wasn't until... I don't think it was until like maybe Friday. Friday came out with an open letter, and it says Michael B. Jordan addresses controversy. Now, what he did say, they were talking about women, and they would say, "Oh my God, Arizona 47." So Jesus Christ, my God. So, he writes an open letter. And okay, so in the article they talk about who, like, his dating, who he's with or whatever. Somebody tried to connect him to one of the Jenner girls or something, one of the Kardashian / Jenner girls, and he said, no, we're just friends or whatever. And he was talking about how Black women would be mad about it or some shit, and he used the word females. And female is now almost like it's not doesn't hold the same weight, but it's essentially nigger to women now. Like that women don't like it when you call them females. And since they don't like it, you shouldn't say it. And that's how I feel about it. If a group is offended by that, I pretty much just say, like, don't say the shit. You know, you shouldn't say, you know, if you have that hate in your heart, don't say it. Yeah, you just shouldn't say it. It's a word you should get out of your, ideally you want to get that out of your vocabulary, and you definitely don't want to call anybody that. So, he writes this letter and let's see where I'll start with this. Yeah, I'll just read the letter. So people were upset, and they're like, fuck you, Michael B. Jordan. I can't believe you played Oscar Grant, and now you're on this Black Lives Matter shit. And I just couldn't. And they said it was on Snapchat. I didn't see anything about him saying All Lives Matter. So And this, and then JL was like, "What's up with your guy now?" You know, because JL and I did this. I did his podcast. This might have been like 2 or 3 years ago, where we did a Hollywood draft, where we chose like some actors, like if we were a movie studio, how we would, you know, pick these actors or something. So. Something like that. And I chose Michael B. Jordan, and JL still says, you know, I chose potential, artistic potential, and JL's basically a front runner. So whoever's like hot, he likes. As much as he tries to deny that, but he's pretty much a front runner. He will not go see indie movies unless the New York Times writes about it. So that being said, so there's a lot of drama. People were upset. And it caused him, Black Twitter, you know, made him speak out. So this is a letter. I have been a professional actor for most of my life, but being regarded as a leading man is new to me and has taken some time, some getting used to. Recently, I had the opportunity to be featured on the cover of one of my favorite magazines. In the interview, several points that I shared were communicated in ways that do not reflect my true feelings and opinions. In addition, there were reports written about me elsewhere that simply aren't true. I'd like to set the record straight. First and foremost, I believe that Black Lives Matter, unequivocally and without exception. I've never said, written, Snapchatted, tweeted, Instagram, or implied anything to the contrary. Any report that states otherwise is a complete fabrication. I portrayed Oscar Grant in my first leading role in a feature film, Fruitvale Station. I am a founding member of the Blackout for Human Rights Network. I gave a speech just a few months ago on the importance of the Black Lives Matter movement at the BET Awards. It is frustrating to see a false claim stirred up on social media, which has caused my supporters to question where I stand on this critical issue. But I'm confident that my history and continued engagement with my community will speak louder than unfounded rumors. Secondly, it is challenging to have a nuanced conversation about race and Hollywood, period. This sensitive subject becomes even more complicated when you're dealing with sound bites and articles. A simple idea or opinion can be abbreviated and distorted as it's communicated to readers out of context. Allow me to be clear about my ideas on roles traditionally reserved for white actors. My goal is for my choices and opportunity, as well as those of my fellow actors and actresses of color, to be predicated on our talent, ability, and passion, and not on false notions of what color an artist must be to play certain roles. I've had the honor to portray Black characters written and directed by Black filmmakers, a privilege that too few actors of color enjoy because of the challenges of Black artistry and access behind the camera. But in addition to those wonderful roles, I also want to have the option to play all kinds of parts with no door closed to actors and actresses like myself. Lastly, my fans who are women mean the world to me. This is especially true of Black women, who as a group have supported my work long before the industry knew my name. I deeply regret and am ashamed that I said anything to disappoint or disparage them. I apologize with my whole heart for referring to women in the way that I did. The word female used in the manner that I did is dismissive and strips women of their humanity. It is a slang term that guys sometimes use to sound slick and cool coming up. But words have power, and I realize now more than ever that this careless language is dehumanizing, inappropriate, and immature. I'm a better man than that. This reference to women will not come out of my mouth publicly or in private again. And although some of what I said was taken out of context, I take full responsibility for the interview and I apologize for the hurt and confusion it has caused. This has been an important lesson for me. I humbly ask my fans to grow with me as I learn more about myself and the industry. Thank you. So that was Michael B. Jordan. Taking responsibility for what he said and apologizing. You got to like that, man. You got to like that in your up and coming stars. Most people wouldn't have done that. I appreciated it. He wrote that op-ed piece about doing that, being Johnny Storm. And when people, the comic book nerds who were also racist, didn't want him to be Johnny Storm in that shitty Fantastic Four movie. But he wasn't bad in it. It was just all that, just that debacle with that production. So I applaud him for that, man. And I never doubted him. I didn't, because I wanted to hear all the facts, and it just seemed like Black Twitter just took something and ran with it, and like they sometimes do. Even though Black Twitter is for the most part pretty righteous and funny, and they have I'm a part of it, and we collectively are on that righteous shit, but also to be funny as well. Fuck it, Black, like Fonte said, Black Twitter is Twitter, and you know, and it's good that he owned up to what he said. And he apologized, and he's admitting that he's a work in progress, and he's still learning. And I'm excited to see what he does in Creed. It looks great, and I think it'll propel him into another level of being a star. And I'm proud of him for stepping up. People say that I have I lost in my draft with JL, one of his fans. That now friends me on Facebook, and he still says that JL beat me. So it goes. If he did, I stand by the picks that I made, even though I may have missed a few. But Michael B. Jordan is one of my number one picks, and I think the guy's a star. I think he's great. I think he's a decent dude. So good on him for apologizing and all that jazz. I think there's something else that I wanted to say. There's also... I know Richard Sherman said some respectability politics bullshit, but I think sometimes athletes and celebrities, and not excluding Michael B. Jordan, because he actually gets it with that letter, especially, you know, some rich and famous celebrities are just so far removed from regular people that they don't understand certain things. Like, and I think Richard Sherman, he was wrong. That's my opinion. You know, he had that interest, that funny, was that fake punt return thing that they just did today. And it just reminded me, it's like, oh, he faked everybody out, just like he faked out Black Twitter when we had his back. See, like, Black Twitter had his back for all of that shit when they would say, oh, he's a thug and he's this and he's that. And he's smart. He went to Stanford, you know. And the same people that are calling him a thug, that called him a thug, are now have his back for that respectability politics bullshit. Anyway, you know, whatever. So it goes. Music. Hold on a second. Okay, so music. It's a lot of music, and it's just been an onslaught of music this year. It's been a great year for music. More so than it has been for movies, in my humble opinion. I started listening to this group called Churches, and it's spelled CHVRCHES, and they're a Scottish electronic band that was formed in 2011, and they've got, how many albums do they have? They got two albums, The Bones of What You Believe and Every Open Eye, which just recently came out. I think if it's not, it's about to come out. But they're good. I like them. I just listened to them. Had like a cursory listen this week, and they sound good. I'll have to spin them a lot more, but I'm listening to them, and I like them. Apollo Brown, who's a producer out of Detroit, came out with this compilation album called, did I say New York? I think I said Detroit, Michigan. Detroit. He's from Detroit. He came out with this project called Grandeur, and he's got Sky Zoo and oh my God, Barrow Brothers. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? He's got Odyssey, Chino XL, Finale, Evidence, Rashid Chappelle, Raz Kaz, Master Ace, Matthew Ragazzino, Freddie Gibbs, and West Side Gun, Planet Asia, and even Wordsworth from Lyricist Lounge. Can you believe that? And it's good. I was listening to it. It's got that. Oh, Torre is the second half of the Barrow Brothers. I hate when I do that, you guys. And it's good. I was listening to it on the way to Brooklyn to do that set at Over the Eight. And it's just good. It's just got it's just boom bap, indie hip hop. If you're a hip hop head, you'll fuck with a few of the tracks on there. It's good. It's about, how long is it? It's like, let's see. It's like an hour and 4 minutes. It is an hour and 4 minutes. And it's good. It's got Big Pooh on there. It's just, I really liked the Words Paint Pictures project, the Big Pooh, that he did with Big Pooh. That's good. Just, like, especially the song that I can't get up, that keeps, you know how you have a song that plays in your head every now and then? Like, that, like just like for a period of time. Rapper Big Pooh's got this song that he, with Apollo Brown, called Augmentation. And just the sample is just really dope. And it's just like on some like boom bap hip hop shit. Just it's fucking dope. Yeah, so that's good. And there's a lot of stuff that I haven't listened to. What I'm excited about now, really, to be honest, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm excited to hear what this new Selena Gomez album's going to be. You know, if you're a fan of this show, if you listen to it from day one, you know, Selena's pretty much bae. Her and for me, her and Jessica Parker Kennedy are two of the ladies that I like. Megan Good's super hot, but Selena Gomez, and she's starting to look older in a good way. Like Selena is just very young looking, but she's starting to thicken up. Like I'm talking about her like she's a turkey or something, but she's starting to just become a woman, and it's like she's gaining that good weight, and she looks good, man. I'm excited to hear what she's doing, because the last album was good. Stars Dance, they had some bangers on there, like on some pop shit, you know. So I was liking what she was doing with that one, and hopefully this is showing some more growth, you know what I'm saying, young. So it'll be interesting to hear what she's talking about on that one. Let's see if it was anything else that I wanted to say. I think that's it, you guys. I think that's it. So subscribe to the show. That's it, you guys. That's the end of the podcast. It's episode 137 in the books. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Stitcher, rate and review it. Email me with your thoughts and all that stuff you want me to talk about. And I'll talk to you next time, everybody. Peace.